This is the week ahead. A look at some of the stories that Bloomberg editors are watching for the coming week.
Hello, I'm Greg Miles, editor of the Global Week Ahead podcast. Today, we focus on whether China's stock market will continue to plunge, what leaders in Beijing can do to stop it, and how China's bear market is affecting Russia. Now, with me here to talk about that is Nikolai Gamatov. He's emerging markets team leader for Bloomberg News in New York. Nikolai, welcome.
Thank you.
Nikolai, as you know, China stocks had their worst sell-off in 8 years in recent days, despite intervention by the Chinese government. What are you watching for in the coming week to tell you if China's market plunge will continue?
Yeah, last time we spoke, which is exactly 2 months ago, I remember I told you this is a fantastic time to be watching the Chinese stock market because there's extreme volatility and just a lot of fascinating things going on. Little did I know that things were going to get even more crazy than we were forecasting at the time. And we're hitting all kinds of multi-year extremes in the market. As you said, there was an 8-year sell-off on Monday. We had a huge drop this month in July in the stock market, the biggest in the world. And people are just sort of starting to become very fearful of investing in China. If I'm going to be looking to get into the Chinese stock market or out of it, I'm going to be watching, first of all, what foreign investors are doing, because the Chinese government may be able to control what the domestic stock market and stock investors are doing. But foreigners, the big institutional funds, they will be the ones to watch in terms of their usage of the quota that they are allowed to use between the Hong Kong and Shanghai stock markets.
Okay, Nikolai, as you know, the market has continued to decline near its lows despite government intervention. Do you expect the government to expand its intervention? And if so, what kind of tools are they likely to use?
Yeah, so they've really gone all out to intervene in the stock market, which is very unusual. And the question is sort of what do they have left? Obviously, they have monetary policy steps. They've cut rates a couple of times, which was kind of what set off this rally in the first place last year in the stock market as they're trying to sort of prop up a slowing economy. And then recently, as the market turned, they've been trying to halt shares from trading so that you simply just can't sell. I think about 500 companies were halted on Friday. And they are banning short selling, so you can't bet on declines in the stock market directly. And they're simply also saying through the Chinese regulator what's sort of that it's, you know, we want to support this market and, you know, be comfortable investing in it. And the Chinese government will be there to prop it up. And that's also something you got to be looking for as an investor next week. You know, simply what is the Communist Party through its various channels, news agencies, the regulator, what are they saying about the market? What kind of support are they willing to step in with? They've also created this fund, about $480 billion to simply go out there and buy stocks on behalf of the government. And, you know, are they going to expand that credit line to investors and increase the bailout funds that are available to buy stocks? Maybe that's another step they can take.
Okay, you look at all that. That's a lot of money, a lot of steps. But the bottom line is, based on the experts the Bloomberg News has talked to, are these steps going to work? Are they going to be able to stop the market from falling further than the roughly 30% it's down now, or can they stabilize it?
Well, ultimately, a stock market needs to be driven by fundamentals and, you know, what are companies' earnings doing, and it cannot be, in the long term, run by government intervention. So I think a lot of the people that we've spoken to on my team, the emerging markets team here in New York, are very skeptical that this is going to be sort of a long-term solution. And you see the extreme volatility that I referred to in the beginning here. That's just a sort of the evidence that it's not really working because investors are very skeptical of the government intervening in the market. You need a sound and healthy stock market needs to be a place where bulls and bears battle it out through how they interpret the data, the economic data, the corporate earnings, and that's how you make price discovery in the market and you have sort of the correct valuation. When the stock market steps in, the government steps into the stock market, then you have a distorted market and that's not a long-term viable solution for China.
Now, what's striking about the latest decline is that many of China's biggest stocks were pulled down. PetroChina, The mainland's biggest stock fell by nearly 10% in a single day. Now, are large China stocks going to continue to get hit if the market declines?
Yes, so the large China stocks are really the place to watch for how the government, the Chinese government, is going to step in and support the market, because what they do with those $480 billion in bailout stock market funds that I mentioned earlier, initially they started buying all these big companies like PetroChina. So it's really becoming a bet on how much money the government is willing to sort of plow into the stock market on any given day. And so you're going to see PetroChina is going to be sort of the vehicle, together with maybe Bank of China and some of the other big Chinese government stocks. And that's going to be sort of the platform for how this is going to end. The volatility that we see in these stocks is also sort of extreme. And the government may at some point say, all right, we've done what we could. Now these stocks are going to move on their own. And that's maybe what we saw a little bit of this week, when the government suddenly seemed to step out of the stock market on Monday, when we had that big sell-off, 8.5% down on the Shanghai Composite. That was because people thought that the government was out. And that's when these big stocks got hit, because they were being helped initially by the government buying.
And of course, China's problems seem to be affecting Russia. Investors were returning to Russia this year after its stock market posted the world's biggest decline in 2014. But in recent days, Russia stocks in New York, they fell to their lowest level in 6 months. Are these declines going to continue?
Yeah, so Russia is slightly related to China, but much more correlated to oil. So as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, oil is selling off again. We had sort of the rebound in oil prices, and now we're back in a bear market in the oil market, and that's what's hitting Russia. Russia's economy hasn't really diversified. They're a big commodities exporter, and they haven't really gotten used to this kind of new normal, so to speak, in the commodities market, and diversified their economy into other sectors, which is what China is doing, by the way. They're trying to sort of become a service-driven economy with a bigger technology component to their economy. Russia is further back in that development, and that's why Russian stocks are getting hit. Layer on top of that, the conflict in Ukraine, the sanctions that are still in place from the U.S. and Europe, that's driving down the Russian economy. And then just on top of all of that, you have sort of the geopolitical uncertainty because of Putin, and people do not know what the president is, what his next step is going to be. We saw last year in March, he invaded Crimea and took over Crimea. Is there going to be another Crimean event in Russia, which cut the Russian stock market in half last year? Institutional professional investors just don't want to take that risk. They can't have another 50% drop in their Russian holdings, so they're just getting out.
And of course, all this affecting Russia's GDP, and the nation's economy minister says that Russia's economy could contract by about 4.4% in the second quarter. That's double the previous quarter. What's driving this drastic shrinkage? And of course, Russia reports in August.
Yeah. So again, it's all coming back to oil. Russia did not do anything, or little. They did little to diversify the economy when oil was at $115 per barrel. Now we're back to $50-$60 per barrel, and you can't rely on commodity exports as a nation as much as you did before, and now you need to refocus the economy, and that's towards technology, towards infrastructure investments, and that's a huge undertaking that it doesn't just happen overnight. So as we see this sell-off in commodities, which sort of underpins the Russian economy, Russia is sort of most likely will have the second quarter quarter of economic contraction this year, and we see that expressed in the market as well, as we just talked about, in stocks selling off and big institutional investors like Franklin Templeton getting out. They closed down their fund. They had a big Russia fund that suddenly shrank to nothing. BNP Paribas has closed down their local fund management venture after 6 years of presence in the Russian market, and so it's doesn't look great for Russia. And you have capital outflows continuing this year. There was a record $150 billion leaving Russia last year, and this year we're going to have about $90 billion leaving, and that's money that should be, you know, going into Russia and investing in Russia, but it's going out for the reasons we just talked about: oil, geopolitical risk, sanctions, lack of diversification in the economy, too much reliance on commodities.
Okay, Nikolai, on that note, I want to thank you for joining us today. Well, that was Nikolai Gumiltoft, Emerging Markets Team Leader for Bloomberg News in New York. Well, you can find the full print version of our Week Ahead on our Bloomberg terminal at our Top Worldwide page or at NI Space Global Week, our podcasts. They're also featured on Bloomberg.com and the Radio Plus Bloomberg app. Have a great week.
The Week Ahead. Copyright Bloomberg LP.